Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's March. Can you believe that? March 3rd.
Yeah.
It is, I believe. Yeah. We're rolling right along. Baseball season in about 3.5 weeks. So you know it's springtime in Alaska. It's pretty blue. Anyway, let me get 816 on. 816, you are on.
We are here.
Hello. Missy.
What's up, Nani?
Let me check. Oh, about 7.5 inches.
That's you're a liar. I got Bob on the phone, and he's bigger than that.
Well, that's when we call you Cannon Hole.
You smart ass.
Where's Bob? Hey, Bob. What's up, brother? What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, where's Bob? Man. Darling, where is Bob?
We got a lot of people in the switch board. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight, please post them on your feedback. We will get you on.
It's nice to meet you.
Maybe. It's up to me. Not in a good mood. Okay. Scotty? Missy?
Yes, sir.
Take it over, guys. Take it over.
So, how are we all doing tonight? Everybody doing good?
Doing better than I deserve.
Oh, there you go. Man, that's a positive note.
Yes, it
wow.
is.
Wow. Yeah. So, I'm trying to think about a bunch of stuff that went on this last week. Last Tuesday... Was it last Tuesday?
Yeah.
It was last Tuesday.
We got some good news, don't we, to share?
Yes, we do. I asked if she's going to be able to come on the show. She's not sure. She's going to try. Oh, it'd be 2 weeks ago. Almost
hey,
2 weeks ago. We have a first at Local 598. We
yes,
have
we
Madam President Stephanie Riley.
Yes.
Congratulations, Stephanie.
Yes.
You bet. People don't realize this, but if you're from 598, you know this is historic. It really is.
Yes.
She beat a good old boy. She beat a good old boy, and very proud of her. Very proud of her.
Well,
and that doesn't happen at Split Truck. It's only happened once before in my 35, well, over 40 years now of being a member. It only happened once. And the guy lasted about a week and a half as chairman, and he resigned because of all the crap they put him through. So
that's
it doesn't
terrible.
Happen. Yeah, it is. It doesn't happen often. So congratulations to Stephanie. I'm very proud of her. We are very proud of her. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, we're going to do like a Paul Harvey, and now the rest of the story. So this last Wednesday, her opponent wanted a ballot review. Or they can't open up the ballots because the ballots are sealed. And for them to open up that ballot box to look at them ballots, you'd need the Department of Labor and the President of UAW to facilitate that. So I brought the individual who ran the machines and the tally and all that, made him drive 3 hours round trip to review that they had some ballots that they questioned because they weren't on the active roll. He brought it all up and explained to them and showed them that was your retirees voting. They're not on active rolls. They're retirees. And they're eligible to vote in this election. The individual and somebody else in the plant turned around and walked right out of the union hall. knowing that our election committee chairperson had that information, they wouldn't have had to bother that man for 3 hours of his time to get that answer. But as we finish up with the rest of the story, how did they get that information and how did they know about that?
They had to open up the ballot box.
No, they can't.
Well, they had to find out who was retiree, or they had to check the check sheets, who came in to vote, and
now
who showed their identification.
That could have been done, but I'm just saying
that's the only way you'd be able to tell if they were retirees. They'd have to sign up under a retiree check sheet or an active member check sheet. And then
right.
They would know how many votes they put out and how the votes were cast. So that way they could that would answer your discrepancy right there on how many votes.
Right. But how did they get that information is what our question was. Did that opponent get that information?
They probably have the right, since they were on the ballot, to request it from the committee, the election committee.
Right.
That could be.
Because if I'm running against you in an election, I might lose by 7 votes. Okay, so therefore, I can probably ask for a recount like they do in every election. Or they'll tell you, all right, we had 4 questionable votes where they mismarked it. Phil would have lost by 3 votes. You know, some ballots weren't cast because they were questionable. Just like they do, you know, the Chad thing. You know, we got 2 Chads. We got to personally inspect them. Other than that, your elections in a sealed ballot box should be basically cut and dry in that aspect. You have 150 members of cast, active members of cast ballots, 75 retirees. We came up with 225 votes. It was 175 to 50. Winner elected.
But the point is the election chair already knew the answer.
Yeah,
prior to them even calling the company that ran the machine.
Well, moving along, because they'd
have had the election results, so the numbers they check against who voted. So therefore, if you're, you know, like I said, if there's any discrepancy in the actual number of votes cast, whether it's retirees and non-retirees, and the election results, then you could call the election in the contest. Okay, but if the votes match up with the, you know, with the tally, you have a winner. Cut and dry. So they shouldn't even have to call the international guy down there, and the person that lost. Okay. If there's any variance in that, then you probably could have called something into question. But if depending on the margin, the win margin and whatnot, if there wasn't enough votes in question cast out on the election, they verified the election results. So, I mean, to me, it's they should know. I mean, you know who got voted for and who got voted against. And if the numbers match, numbers don't lie technically. If it was sealed, it's all about a numbers game at that point.
Well, they just did it to mess with Steph.
Yeah.
She put her work on hold for like 3 days.
Yeah, bottom line, she won, and that's good. We got a lot of callers when we get them on. Hold on, guys. Wow, got a lot of callers. I think this is Carrie. Miss Carrie, is that you?
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, dear. Let me get 313 and 810.
Do it again.
Hey, Sharon Bell, 313. How's everybody? Good afternoon.
Very good, Sharon.
Thanks to everyone that voted.
I voted for you, Miss Sharon.
Thanks, everybody. We got a president. She's a great girl. Lady.
Yeah, isn't that great? That is great.
Yes, Ms. President. Stephanie Riley, I support that.
You bet.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get 440. I think I know who that is, but we get different people. 440, you are on.
Hey, Don.
Oh, I knew that was you. Hello.
Did I hear it right? Stephanie won the race?
Yes.
Congratulations to her. Is she on?
No.
She don't do that.
She had a financial conference to go to this week, so.
And she's always been good-hearted. She's definitely got the right heart for it.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a change at 598, and it's going to be a good change.
Yep, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, now, we got some 313s that call. We got two, so you want to jump in.
That's just me. I'll be too loud here in a second, sir.
Oh, okay.
I'll mute myself, Don. You don't have to mute me.
Oh, man, I know who that is. Okay. Carry on, Scotty. Missy.
All right. So there seems to be some scuttlebutt going on down at Solidarity House. For those who aren't aware, there were some allegations leveled at our financial secretary, Margaret Mock. And what happened is she lost some of her assignments amid some of the criticism of her leadership at the union. A letter was distributed from our president to the staff last week explaining the situation after the International Executive Board met at Solidarity House. They said they accomplished a lot of important business to inform our work going forward. We recognize some departments and assignments making updates and changes to our organizational chart as a union. So then the letter that Faye noted, the key changes was a director for 1D or Region 1, LaShawn English, would now head up the women's department, and Region 1A Director Laura Dickerson would lead the technical office professional department, both roles previously held by Mock. Region 1 also represents the counties of Huron, Lapeer, Macomb, Oakland, St. Clair, Sanilac, Tuscola, and part of Wayne, including Detroit. And Region 1A covers most of Wayne County, including part of Detroit, as well as Monroe, Washtenaw counties, according to the UAW website. So I guess what had happened was that there was a letter brought in from the UAWD I'm trying to see what the allegations were. Here it is. She withheld approval of routine expenditures in an attempt to exchange for votes on the IAB. At least two IAB members have reported these actions to the monitor as an independent office overseeing the union after this corruption scandal. She refused to routinely purchase a supplies for last fall stand-up strike targeting the Detroit 3. Hurting strike preparations, they said. She improperly denied staff legitimate reimbursement under the travel and expense policy, and she also refused to approve legitimate expenditures for ongoing organizing campaigns in a timely manner, risking the loss of National Labor Relations Board elections to unionized work sites and wasting millions of dollars. They were waiting. They said that UAWD said in a statement accused Mock of undermining the labor union's militant, forward-looking initiatives the members voted to execute a year ago as Democratic caucus. Mock was endorsed by our membership along with other members of the slate. As we do not unilaterally make decisions about rescinding endorsements, our caucus will decide Democratic whether further action is necessary. Like, they have control over the UAW, okay? It's an outside group. So Ms. Ma come in and she wouldn't go into full detail. She said they're not true to each one. So the Detroit Free Press had a written statement knowing her pride in the UAW membership and leadership. It's recent contracts. We are choosing to stand up and fight to get the wages, benefits, and working conditions our members deserve. So Mach went on to see her role and appears to push back against the allegations. She said, it saddened me that many do not understand my responsibilities as the UAW Secretary Treasurer. I must protect the sacred due dollars that our members work so hard to earn and then trust us to spend wisely in the best interests. When policies are established by the UAW International Executive Board and or by the special monitor ordered by the court to oversee the UAW and or by federal agencies, it is my responsibility when these policies concerns UAW finances to diligently make sure these policies are adhered to. While it saddens me further that I get criticized, attacked, and retaliated against because I insist on the policies that are in place to be adhered to. I will not waver in enforcing financial policies intended to protect our members' sacred dues dollars. There you go. That was, yeah.
Years ago, and I can, you know, and this all boils down to elections and everything else. It used to be that when you went at a convention or you went anywhere, you could, you know, you got, what basically this all boils down to is she wasn't reimbursing them, it sounds like, for their dual travel or three guys traveling or their airfare or their hotel where they wanted individual hotel rooms or whatever. And that's not the standard UAW policy anymore. It's two to a room because of federal law stated when they were brought. And basically this was a court case already where the international got voted against because they were allowing you as a member when you went on a convention or anything to write off a certain amount of dinner costs, certain amount of all your costs and get reimbursed for it. She sounds like she was doing her job by refusing to reimburse them above and beyond what is obligated. Okay, regardless, it's like saying you're going to organize the Mercedes plant. So we're going to rent each one of you guys a room at $100 a night. That ain't the way it works. Two to a room, you're allowed $35 a day for your dinner expense and whatnot. You can't pull it all together and pocket the rest of the money. Okay, so that's the way this is kind of sounding like she was trying to defend the way the money is being spent in accordance with the rules.
Right.
Okay, that changed probably in the late 80s.
They were demanding more than what is normal or usual or prescribed. Then I guess
no,
that she would.
What was happening is at one point, as a union member, that if you went as a delegate or you went as something else, you could go and you got your own room and you had so much allowed for gas, so much allowed for your room and board, so much allowed for each meal. Okay, if you went
right.
to a place, you know, you spent $2. Okay, and they were getting billed for $25. That was $23 as a union member. You pocketed. So you weren't held accountable because that was the allotment. Now that has changed. The allotment is cut and dry to where it's not everybody got their own room. They made it more economically beneficial for the union and not the individual representing the union.
That's
they
it.
Made
so
you
if
answer
$1
as a union representative instead of just
you
giving
want
you
an upgrade on your
check.
If you want to upgrade on your rental car and you, instead of going to a reasonable meal for 13, 14 bucks or whatever the normal is, and you want to go to a place and get prime rib, then they're going to have to cover the difference.
Correct. And it was the same with hotel rooms and whatnot. So that might shed some light on it because the books were looked into. I know specifically an electromotive at one point where the feds had to come in, okay, and go through all their books, and the feds made a ruling on it. The Fed said you're in violation, and this is what's got to change.
Right.
So
and the only exception would be is if a male was to ask the room with a female, and in that scenario, that could cause problems. I could see where they'd give an extra room, but not to everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Or they always tried to accomplish two females, whatever. But in accordance with overall, you know, ruling, you're allowed so much expenditures, and basically you have to submit, just like anybody else in business, an expense account. So, you know, and it's two per room in a hotel and what, instead of just one. If you wanted to bring your family, say there was a convention in California and you were one of the representatives to be sent, you wanted to bring your family because it was held at Disneyland, okay, you paid for all their expenditures out of your own pocket.
Right.
Okay. But your cost was cut as an individual.
Right.
Your family could stay in your room, but, you know, that's the way they worked it then. But then
right, you want to live it up, you're paying the difference.
Right. There was a problem with certain union people, okay, always on the travel and everything, were probably making $20,000 a year more than what they were supposed to because they were pocketing the reimbursements of the cash, okay, because they weren't spending what they were getting, so it was like a private slush fund.
Wow.
So I don't know if that answers. You know, that's something you'd have to get direct from her on, you know, how the violation, if that was part of what the reasoning is behind that. But that's
right.
That's federal now. That's not controlled by the international. The international has to abide by federal law.
Hey, Scott, does it say the names of the people, specifically the people who filed that complaint against her?
No, all she's got to do is come up with a detailed reason why she refused to reimburse them. Okay, and if it falls under the guidelines, that tells you whether she's doing her job or not. And if they're
right.
penalizing her for not doing her job or for doing her job. You know.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed.
You know, that's the only answer behind that is that holds her accountable as either doing her job or not doing her job. And I mean, the proof's in the numbers right there at that point. So, I mean, she's got the recourse. We don't have any recourse for her, but she's got the recourse. If she can prove she's doing her job, she can bring them up on charges.
Right.
You know, for discrimination or harassment or whatever else. That's on her.
Filing a false complaint. I mean, you're talking about filing court papers. You know, this is not within the UAW, is it? This is they do it to the court, so you can't file false complaints.
Well, the federal commission or whatever that was in charge of that at the time came in and ruled that they couldn't use their expenditures like that so that it didn't create a slush fund. Okay, people
right.
weren't making $200 or $300 to go to a convention every time they went to a convention, and they had to answer for their money. So, like I said, it was a way of cutting people out of making so many thousands of dollars a year more, and, you know, than someone going there to do a job. They weren't, like,
the right thing.
They weren't just going to travel to make money and have a free weekend at a hotel.
All right. Hello, Miss Adrian.
Good evening. How's everyone doing?
Hello.
Very good.
Good.
Good. Want to say congratulations to not only Stephanie, but anyone else that won the elections at Local 598.
Right.
Thank
Johnny,
you.
Johnny.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the things about our elected Secretary Treasurer, Ms. Margaret Mock, is that, as I said, elected by the membership. Trying to really understand how UAWD comes in and writes up this big little letter with accusations in the letter like they're speaking for the membership. I don't remember or recall given them the authority to speak for us, the membership. Also, if Ms. Malk did something that's so horrific, according to the Constitution, why isn't she being brought up on charges?
Right.
I see nothing that explains to us that she's done something wrong. Also, as far as them taking away those two positions, those are positions she didn't need anyway. That takes away and it distracts from her duties as Secretary Treasurer. So that's minor that they took those two away. But what else did they try to take away, if anything? So I just want to go on record that right at this moment, I am currently in support of Ms. Mulk. Also, does anyone know who the compliance director is and how did this position come about? Did the compliance director take the place of the lawyer that was let go, that the court kept on, and so we're still paying for that lawyer also? Can anyone answer that for me?
Yes, this is Sharon. I can, if you'd like for me to answer. Would you like me to tell you what I know?
Yes.
That was okay.
What I asked.
Well, I wanted to make sure. Yeah, I didn't want to be talking when I said. Well, tonight I had discussion about the compliance officer. It was brought to my attention that the compliance officer worked for John, the president, but the compliance officer is under the monitor, our monitor, but the compliance officer works for John so he can hire or fire. I don't know the proper word, but just they're under his authority, according to what was explained to me tonight. Because at first I was told that the compliance officer was there when they came. I asked that question, and even though the compliance officer was there when they came, when the new IEB came in. But the compliance officer worked for the president, according to what I was told tonight. And I did have a UAWG meeting, and we had a lot of discussion about the letter. And I personally said we need to see documentation. It's a lot of accusations, no documentation. We asked them to retract the letter, but that was denied. That's what I know.
So do you know the compliance director's name?
I didn't ask.
Yes, I know it.
Get it. Okay.
Her name's Marnie Schroeder. I'm going to send the information to Scott via Messenger Facebook. Scott?
Yes.
I'm going to send it to Messenger Facebook. I found out who she is. I'll send you her bio and her name. Her name is Marnie Schroeder, I think. Is that how you say it? I'll send it to you.
Okay. And I'll try to screenshot that and carry that on over to you, Adrian.
Oh, don't worry. I already knew the answer. See, I ask a lot of questions that I already know the answers to. I want to make sure that everyone else knows the answer.
Sure.
Because in the letter, it never tells you her name.
Right.
So once you start mentioning names, or if you're mentioning positions, we should know people's names to match those positions.
Correct.
Okay. Also, I'm looking at questions that have been asked in the past. How many people work at Solidarity House? And so we're getting rid of, or we're allowing the companies to get rid of some of our lower seniority members.
Yes.
And yet and still, Solidarity House is growing in numbers.
Right.
So I'm just trying to match all of this up and see how this makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know that.
You know, and also you get to a point that you're trying to find out, well, who's doing all this hiring?
Right.
You know, because we know that there are people involved that have positions or have been appointed to positions that are not union members, or they're not UAW members.
Right.
And so you're kind of looking at that, and you're also looking at things like taking $40 million out of the coffer to extend through 2026 to go out and organize. And yet and still, we're creating an issue that looks like corruption, which was a reason, one of the reasons why you couldn't organize outside.
Right.
You're just trying to pinpoint stuff and look at things from different viewpoints. And, you know, I just, here we have a caucus that seems like they're a union within our union that's not for, or that does not encompass all of the membership.
Well, if you look at the broader picture, the way I'm looking at it is the UAW is now a money-making organization and don't give a crap about their membership in a lot of instances because they're worried about organizing places that would never organize before, like Mercedes and everywhere else and all these non-union plants, instead of taking care of their workers under the last contract and bargaining on our behalf when we increased the strike fund the last time. So they just want to make more money to spend more money and grow their – it's just like big government. They didn't do their job the last time, but they want to grow to make more money.
They are growing.
You're right. And we have a right to have some concerns. We should be concerned. And we should be able to question these people and get some answers.
I agree.
So I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay.
So thank you, Carrie, for sending that to me. I read that out. Miss Marnie Schroeder. So she's been there since 2022. I don't know. You know, Gene and I talked about that, and Gene said, look, you know, the people from over the UAWD, they're still UAW members. And I agree with her. But I disagree with her because they are, they said, their own steering committee, and they're the ones that brought these charges against Margaret Mock. And I'm going, well, what gives you guys the power to level that? You know, like you run our UAW? I don't think so. But, you know, I don't know. Evidently they voted. Well, evidently they voted.
That's a pretty
remove...
serious accusation. It's not just like,
yeah.
You know, maybe you didn't like the way somebody dresses. You're talking about a fiduciary position. And this is the second time an accusation has been made against her. The first one was during the election, which we know was false because she walked into a local where the books, she had to recreate all the books because the previous administration was not taking care of their financials. So her and her assistant went back and recreated the documents that were missing, put everything together, and were compliant. And they tried to use that to keep her from getting elected. And now, after the fact, now you've got – they better be right what they're saying.
Yep. Yep. But they, you know, they did remove her from a couple of her duties, and that was voted on by the International Executive Board. So here's the deal: we're supposed to be transparent. They said they wanted to be transparent. Well, then I think we're all entitled a little bit of an explanation as what's happened, because, like you said, it wasn't a small fry. This was a member of the International Executive Board that was elected. And now things are going on, and everybody's got all these questions as to what happened. We're seeing what you took from her, but we're not hearing the why, I guess so.
She's got an answer for that. She wants transparency. She comes out and tells what the charges were and why she was removed. I mean, if
right.
She comes out and she gets support from the membership that she was doing her job as financial officer, but they needed her to be more aggressive, then that's one thing. They're being transparent. But if she don't explain herself, they're not going to explain her actions.
Right.
You know, I mean, get her on and let her tell us what's going on. I mean, until you hear it from the horse's mouth, we can't defend or condemn her.
Right.
I mean,
well, I can defend her to a certain degree.
I'd like to do her job.
Yeah, I can defend her to a certain degree. The other problem that I have is that, why was it so important to run to the television news media, the papers, and discuss this with them to get it out into the public? Why was that?
Good question.
Shouldn't have been necessary at all. It should have been handled internally.
And that is correct. And the reason I'm saying it is, like I said, you have not brought her up on any charges.
Right. It's politically motivated, the way you're making, you know, the way it sounds. Because
yes.
Maybe she's doing her job and she's pissing off the powers that be.
Correct. Well, she may be, I don't know for sure, but she may be doing the job.
She was elected to do.
Too good?
Not just that she's elected to do, but the way the job is supposed to be done.
Right.
You see,
and that's not something
they had hired a well-known accounting firm to come in and look at some of the things that was going on in the financial and accounting processes. And they found out some things that was wrong. So did she make those corrections, and you know, that pissed some people off. I don't know. Did some people get let go? I don't know. There's all kinds of things there. When we talk about expense reports, when an expense report is not correct, it's kicked back, and they send it back to you and say, well, we cannot pay this because blah, da, 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 da. And so, you know, you pissed off because you're doing something other than the procedure for expense reports, you know, supplies. How in the hell did anybody know really what supplies to order? When you talk about a stand-up strike, we never had a stand-up strike before. We had a UAW on strike.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, it's just things, like I said, I broke out some things and looked at them. I can speak on the finance and accounting part because that's what I did for almost 20 years. I did several different parts of accounting and finance before I was a Ford Motor Company employee. And I have a degree to back it up. So.
Now, here's a question. Why would that go to the extent of changing? Because the complaint was written by the UAWD, was sent to the IAB, and obviously the president's office had to look at it. Why would they take any actions until the investigation was done? Because you're almost giving power to people within the House that maybe want to cause problems, so they could say, ha-ha, look, we got her in trouble, when there may absolutely be nothing wrong. I mean, they should have withheld until the investigation was done, and then maybe a statement from the president's office. We removed these responsibilities for this reason, or we could justify it this way, instead of taking action and removing the responsibilities before really the investigation was taken care of.
Can I ask, how did this get to the point?
Don, can you repeat that?
Did this get to the press? And if it did, how did it get to the press?
That's a good question, too.
Yeah,
very good question.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of says it all to me,
yep.
What's going on here.
Yeah. The complaining party contacted the press.
That's the way it looks to me. And why would they do that? Unless they wanted, unless it was political. And that's bullshit, if that's the case.
Yeah, I find some things very
fishy.
Strange.
Yeah.
Fishy.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with shenanigans.
Well,
they didn't have all these problems when what's his name, Frank Struggling, Stooges.
Right.
When he was in office, and he didn't know a damn thing.
Right.
You know, he couldn't even give us guesstimates or stuff at the last convention. You know, so. And if it was wrong that they didn't have, like, descriptions of positions, people in positions not knowing how to do their jobs, they were there when Struggling was, not Struggling, his name is Stugelin, excuse me. They were there when he was there.
He was probably just painted out, Adrian.
Can you repeat that?
I said they was just probably paying it out. The previous treasurer, if they didn't have no problems, they weren't filing complaints, they must have been able to turn in receipts for anything they wanted.
Sounds like it. It sounds like it.
You have guidelines for all your expenditures, period. And it's all dictated on what you claim and what you can't claim. What they'll reimburse you for and what they won't. So it should be a pretty black and white situation. All right, it's one power fighting over against another power.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, it's just like everybody now with the Sean Fain thing, and you know, you got Brian Keller, and you got Jesse, you got all kinds of people playing political games all the time for their own benefit. They're not worried about the membership; they're worried about themselves. They want that 12 hours off the line getting a paycheck, okay, because it's guaranteed income every day, and not have to answer to anybody.
That's right. Scott, what did Daniel used to say?
This is all infighting instead of unifying and just, you know what, everybody needs to do their job. If you elect me, I'm going to represent you. If you do this, I'm going to represent you. If I'm in this position, I'm going to do my job. It ain't no shady bullshit like the UAW has been guilty of for over 40 years. And if you don't think they ain't been guilty of it, like the Teamsters and everyone else, we're all fools. And now you got someone that might be doing their job, and the powers that are above them are pissed off because they can't get away with what they used to get away with. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's what it sounds like. Hey, Scott, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Scott, what did Danzig used to say, the two different types of people that would run for office?
Two types of people who run for office, the ones who run for power and control, and the others for the honor and the privilege to serve the membership. That is true in any political organization outside of the union, UAW, whether it be the Democratic Party, Independent Party, Republican Party, Socialist Party, whatever. Those are the two types of people. And those are the two
You do
scenarios.
The job because you love it, not because you want to make money off the backs of others.
Well,
you do
right.
the job because you're elected to do a job and you take pride and responsibility in what you're elected to do. Not, I'm going to go into office worth $200,000 and leave office worth $1.9 million. Okay. You do it
right.
Everybody you represent, whether it's 200,000 workers or 10 workers, profit from your hard work, and that's your payback for the job. Now, you know, I mean, my father told me that as a UAW rep years ago. I don't do it because I'm getting rich. I do it because, you know what, I look around and what's fair is fair. What's right is right. It's cut and dry. We all have common sense. Well, we used to all have common sense. I think that's kind of changing in this current atmosphere. But common sense says if you see someone getting mistreated, and we've all talked about it when you're on the line and you're working with a temp and they're getting mistreated, it's your obligation as a legacy or a permanent worker to defend them.
Right.
Okay. So whether you get thrown out or whatever, you're saving them from getting fired. So there's a difference between you losing 3 days pay and them losing their future. Okay. That's what we are as a union membership. That's what we're supposed to do. But I see too many people now all worried about me. And not worried about their fellow brothers and sisters.
Right.
Okay.
That bothers me. We used to be our brothers and sisters keeper. Hell, when I hired in, I remember what it was. You know, you always helped a brother or sister up. You helped them get to the next step. Not step on their back to get there, you know.
Here.
No. We're so far removed. Gene and I talked about this about Margaret Mock. It's like she stepped into something and they already had executed judgment without even a hearing, you know, is what it appears to, because somebody complained. Well,
and they're using the press to push their point. It's happening
right.
internationally and in this country every day right now. You
right.
use social media and whatnot to prove someone guilty before they're even put on trial, and it's
right.
happening daily. They're taking away your rights to due process.
And some people don't understand. I mean, Adrian does, you do, and I have a little bit of a idea how it works. But you know, there's a process too where you ask for a reimbursement on things, and it's within the scope of her job to ask, how many bids did you get for this, whatever the reimbursement you're asking for. Sometimes you need to get three and four bids to do what you're trying to accomplish to get your reimbursement for. And I know at our local, personally, they violated it a couple of times, and they went with the first bid. They didn't get the other two bids, okay? And then when you ask for reimbursement, it's within the scope of her job to say, how many bids did you get? And if you didn't get the requirement, what the required system says, she can deny you reimbursement, and it's going to hurt your feelings.
Okay, Scotty, we got a couple other callers, 810. We got two of those, so go ahead, jump in anytime you would like.
Hey, guys, it's Stephanie. I just popped on really quick. I'm here at the Financial Officers Conference, but
I told Scotty I'd try to call in real quick if I was able. So here I am. Hi.
Hi. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome, girl. Awesome.
I am being addressed as the girl who came by storm down here.
It's a perfect storm.
Thank you.
You go for it. Yeah, I was telling the guys earlier in the show. I was telling the guys earlier in the show that this doesn't happen. It only happened once, one other time in my whole UAW career where somebody knocked off one of the good old boys. So I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you.
John, thank you. And thank you for showing up to vote. And thank you for having me on the show so I could, you know, get out there and talk to some more people. And I'm really excited. I'm getting settled in. I'm sure it's going to take some time. But, you know, you guys know I'm ready.
Well, what are we going to put on the door, rap and Riley, or are we going to go with Stephanie?
Come on in and rap with Riley.
I like it. I like it. I like
it.
That's awesome.
I appreciate you guys.
Oh, we appreciate you calling in. And you sold yourself, Stephanie. You sold yourself. Your reputation in the plant is awesome, excellent. And you had some good people in the plant helping you out, too. I want to give Scotty and a few others credit.
You got to
Jesse.
Be great. I could have done it without them. I mean, that was a close vote. So every single person that helped, it counted. Every single person, every little flyer that got handed out counted. So I can't
yes,
thank everybody.
Yes, it did. Go ahead, Scotty. Wake up. I don't know if anybody is anybody here.
Yeah, I'm just letting
point
that,
of order. Point of order.
Oh,
order. Okay, go
point
ahead.
Point of order.
Yeah, we've heard of that a few times, haven't we, Stephanie?
We have.
Point of order.
Well, I think we lost a great console man this week.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
I really like Derek Mays. Point of order. Point of order.
You like Derek Mays? I work with Derek Mays. One day I'll tell you some clues about Derek Mays.
I just like the way he talks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was destructive.
Adrian, thank you. You brought up everything I was going to bring up about Margaret Mock. If she done something so bad, why didn't they put charges on her? And also, why did the UAWD put out a statement to the press before, I think they did it before Sean Fain?
Well,
yep.
I'll tell you why. That keeps the UAWD being liable. UAWD is liable and not the UAW. It's the perfect plan. And, you know, I disagree with what they did. They need to retract the statement. Will they? Probably not, because higher ed has taken over UAWD. And so it is what it is at this point. Margaret has a good chance to run on for the next election. Guess what? I'm going to protect our money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good point. Good point. Good point.
That's our president.
Well, you know, I mean, it's sad that we're attacking people like this, and we're not given any information other than
right.
what has happened to her. You know, in her own
one
statement.
One side
huh?
is reporting. Well, one side
what?
Is not right.
No.
No, it isn't.
No.
That muddy, you know, it's making her look bad, and it seems to be a political thing, and that's too bad. It really is. It makes UAWD look bad, too.
Right.
It's like somebody said, they're used to getting blank checks, and Marker's not giving them blank checks anymore.
No. No. You know, George, while you're on, I do got something that you'd asked about earlier. There's a big concern with a lot of people in our plant, and I'm sure nationally, about the special attrition program and the $50,000, what that is, to retire. Well, now they're trying to say,
Daddy.
Yeah.
Hang on. Madam President might have to leave, and I want to thank her for calling in, and but if she wants to hang on, that's fine. But if you have to go, Stephanie, you just hang up the phone, okay?
I'm here. I'm going to put it on mute.
Okay. Go ahead, Scotty.
Okay.
Scott, I don't think that was me that was asking about the...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But you asked about, you know, talking about Sean Fain. And that
right.
Come up onto that feed, and that's a very good point. Because this person is saying, look, you know, you can't get the local deal. A lot of locals still don't have a local agreement, in which you're supposed to have before September. And now they're saying that the $50,000 to retire isn't in the wording of the contract. And some people sent them in and think, well, maybe we ought to go back on strike, you know, and see what we can change on this contract. It was mentioned at all the rollouts. Ford and Stellantis is paying out their program, and General Motors, General Motors isn't. I have heard, I cannot confirm, so this is just rumor or speculation that there are active lawsuits going on against the UAW because of this special attrition program. Some people held on just to get the $50,000 before they walked out the door, and now they're saying, well, we don't know when we're going to pay it out or if we're going to pay it out. You know, that's kind of a crappy thing to do to people. You know what I mean? So
I asked that question, Scott, because I had someone that walked out. And traditionally, if you were under international negotiations and you left and you retired, okay, say you left October or after September 15th, you retired. You were covered
right.
Under the other agreement. While the new agreement was being settled, you would be eligible for any incentives involved under the settlement of that new agreement.
Correct.
Okay. Under this special attritions program, when I asked specifically, you are not eligible for the $50,000. You screwed yourself because you chose to retire before the contract was signed and you were on strike
yep.
or whatever. So you
yep.
screwed yourself and you will not get it. That is a confirmed thing that I got from the powers that be.
Heard the same thing. Same thing.
That was something I was told right off the bat, that if you were not an active member at that point, you retired, you gave up your right to that 50 grand. They also have the right to deny you under the fact that they're only offering so many per corporation, that incentive, they will go by the seniority, I'm down, and pay out that amount. If you don't fall in that window, you do not get the retirement incentive. So if there's 50,000 workers they want to get rid of, 10,000 each. If you're 10,001 at GM, you do not get that benefit, whatever the number might be.
Wow.
Unless you retire, then you're not eligible for it.
Unless you want to wait until next year's window.
Right. Well, I'm saying if you already went out, or you'd be forced to stay for another year and see if you're eligible at that point. Which you might not be eligible again. So it's
wow.
a push down the road case scenario. It's a case-by-case
right.
basis. It's not nothing to where you can have a mass exodus, because none of the corporations want a mass exodus under this, because it hurts their production. Because mostly it's skilled trades and everything to take that. Okay, so it hurts their implementations all the way up and down the line.
Wow.
Okay.
Right.
So that's why they only allow so many skilled trades, so many production. They usually have their numbers. That would be something the international would have to give you the
right
answer on what the breakdown is. And they didn't have no specifics on that. They just said they're going to offer it. They did a broad offer. They did a broad offer.
You're saying that
they
want to get paid retroactively when they had already retired before that agreement was even made?
They used to be covered under it as long as the contract was expired. Okay, but the reason why they didn't do it this time is because Sean Fain and the powers that be chose for us to work with no contract. Every other time in history, we worked under the previous agreement until the new agreement was settled. This is the first time they suspended the whole agreement. So that's why there's a question, and that's why there's a problem with this.
Right, right. And at our rollout, we were told that they're still negotiating this. I'm going, what do you mean you're still negotiating?
Only skilled trade versus production. That might
right
be at an individual plant basis due to the fact that the people that are involved that fall under the categories. You might have a large predominant role of skilled trades.
Right.
And you can't allow them to go without the pipeline being reinforced, you know, with new skilled
right
trades. So that might be the reason for that.
And they were told 7 years ago that by this time, now, excuse me, present day, that this many amount of people in skilled trades will be more than eligible to retire, and you've not backfilled any of those jobs or brought any of this to light. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, if you, the corporation was told that you've got X amount of employees that you should be thinking about replacing, and you haven't done that, well, don't hold that against the membership. That was poor planning on your part, as usual.
The problem with that, Scott, is GM's corporate goal, if you know anything about their skilled trades and their material handling, is to outsource all skilled trades and material handling. So therefore,
right,
because the international and everything has not negotiated the farming out of skilled trades, and that other than at the Tennessee plant, okay, where they farmed
right
out all their material handlers and whatnot. Other than that, that was the corporate goal. So the corporation was not, and the union was not enforcing the re-enrollment of new skilled trades members. They are starting to do it slowly, 2 and 3 here, 2 and 3 there, okay. But you're right. For a long time, they were not bringing anybody into skilled trade, because skilled trades, we all know, it's a gravy train. You have to respond and do your job when you have to do it. You might work 3 hours a night. It might be hard work for 3 hours a night. Okay, but the other
right
5 hours, you're sitting by a radio. So you know what? Most of them won't retire until there's something like that offered.
Right.
I
refer to them as your insurance group. You
right
you pay them to sit there and wait, but when that line goes down, they better be Johnny on the spot getting my line up and running again, ASAP.
Right. So the whole problem with the corporate plan was not to have them and to have an outsourced area, so that's why they weren't bringing them in, and now they're in a catch-22 where they don't have enough to backfill in the system, so therefore they're going to sit there and delay. And tell people they can't retire because we're only allowing 35 skilled trades at this facility to take the incentive, okay, because we only have 75. We're going to bring in
right
12 more this year, 12 more next year. You know what I'm saying? That's where the problem is going to be. So, therefore, you're penalizing people for your own lack of planning.
Well, even the labor pool at some of the facilities, they got people that they can't let go because they don't have enough people to run production. After they wiped everybody's attendance record clean,
you know, now there's a bunch of people that didn't show up. Well, almost every time, you know, almost daily they're having adverse impact, so they can't use their personal time to cover because they don't have enough people to run. They can't just cut everybody loose on retirement.
Right. They tried outsourcing at our facility, and kind of like what Bob said, it didn't work very well, so they had to rethink their game plan because the line went down, and when our skilled trades would be there to fix that, they had to wait for maintenance on the other side of the building to get over there to find out what the problem was.
Right.
To cause a delay. And as you know, in an assembly plant, delays mean money.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, and if all of us here, we knew it was coming, it's here, it's happening now, and people don't know how to deal with it. Automation. We're bringing in more robots, more facilities, and we're cutting jobs. They're cutting material with automated tugger systems. I can't remember what they call them, but they run on a magnetic track on the floor. You'll have, you know, you're going to lose 5 or 6 material drivers to these automated machines, and you have one person in that team member, one person to go over there and help with these automated machines. It's, you know, help them hook up, unhook, or get them restarted or whatever, instead of having actual people deliver material. They want
right.
to do the same thing to us as they did at Lake Orion.
That normally increases the demand for skilled tradesmen, so that's really going to put a crunch on them there, you know.
Yep.
Wait until the line goes down for 2 hours and the ones that are in progress are dead and their chargers are dead, and then you got to
right.
sit there and you got to dock them and charge them before you can advance the parts, or you got to have a portable charger, because that happens at all the facilities as it is now. Okay.
Right.
If your line breaks down, you break a chain somewhere and it's down, that robot that went so far is stuck there with no, and not in a charging station long enough to charge. So therefore, all of a sudden, your parts ain't getting delivered. But that's another story.
Right. Yep.
We've cut jobs at my facility just recently. We cut 3 jobs on just my little part of the line alone. Their attitude is keep pushing, keep moving this and that around until we can keep it running, even though they're killing their workers. I've been on the line almost every day since November because we don't have manpower. As a team leader, I've been on the line or running my ass off to try to keep the line going because of the fact that they cut jobs. And then they want to bitch about downtime. That's on them. Okay. My personal 6 co-workers that work under my team work their ass off for this corporation. I have a good team. If they can do it, they'll do it. If they can fix it, they fix it. If they can't fix it, they call me. We run, but they still don't want to take any responsibility because they just look at numbers. That's their job. They don't have IE anymore that comes out and looks at the job. It's, we see you got 2 seconds on this job. This should only take you this. So they're going to keep cutting jobs because they think we're overpaid and they want to show a profit.
Yep. Yep.
So now if you guys run the line and run a shift and don't stop the line or something, I heard you guys get an extra 12-minute lunch hour.
Yeah, really? I've never seen it.
Maybe it was Stellantis or Ford. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I know it ain't GM. Because there's times when...
Yeah, I think it might have been Stellantis that... they're giving them an extra free 18-minute lunch hour if they run good production.
I don't know what your plant's
wow.
DRR is, Scott. Right now we're at about 91%. Okay, with a product quality of our PDQR is 91 to 90, in between 91 and 92%. I think their goal is anything above 91.1 right now. Okay, we're running above what we're supposed to as far as our direct quality run rate. No thanks to management and no thanks to anything else that's saying, you know, that's the work on the workers' back. Okay, because the workers tend to, I think, they don't give us enough credit for caring about what we build, but that's on them. You know, our facility is operating very well, other than that they thought that our body shop and whatnot could produce more vehicles than they can. So we've actually had to derate because our body shop and paint couldn't keep up with production on the floor. We're running roughly on my line, we can run up to 72 jobs an hour. And body shop can't produce 72 jobs an hour.
72.
Hey, Scott?
Dang.
Yeah.
What is truck plant hurt for people? Because I know a lot of people that are struggling to get a day off work. And last summer, they walked out whenever they wanted to get time off. No, they can't even get time off.
No, because we don't have any temps anymore, they said. So they said.
Scott, is your plan hiring temps right now?
No.
We are.
Really?
We're hiring
32 hours. We're
going to hire a 40-hour a week person again. But we're hiring more 32-hour a week temps right now. And it's on Facebook that we're hiring because we can't run with anybody off.
Really?
Really. So our facility is hiring temps right now for 32 hours a week. But they will not bring anybody that's been there under 32 hours a week up to the 40-hour status, because if they do that, then they got to roll them into being a permanent employee. And that goes back to the international agreement when they screwed us on that. And people should have read into that. People should have read into that right there.
How much does the starting wage go up? It was $16 an hour. Now it's what, 21, 22?
Yeah, it's roughly $4 an hour is what it went up.
At least they're pulling people in. But I hate to say this because, I mean, the next generation have been pampered a little bit, I think, because the – people don't have that same, and it's in every generation, but they just don't seem to have the same motivation, or I don't know, it's who they're pulling from or whatever. They just don't think they're going to come in and get the best job in the first week.
Well,
and it's not happening that way.
You know, I make the joke at work, guys, whereas my dad told me, go to work for GM. It's a great corporation. Then I get there, I spent 20 years there. Be a team leader. You're not on the line all night long. I said, if I'd have listened to everybody, I said, first of all, I'd have kicked my own father in his ass because I feel like I'm 80 years old instead of 55. And I run more as a team leader in my area than I do if I was on a job. Okay. And the management wants me to do half of their shit.
Right.
So, you know, times are a-changing. Okay. And when they did away with the referral process, that was a federal mandate because it was in discrimination against the outside workers because we were hiring from within all the time. So that everybody always, well, why don't we have the referral program? Everybody told me, refer as many people as you want. We'll hire them first. But we can't legally come out and say that because it's called discrimination.
Right.
So
and for a while, they weren't paying enough for anybody to bother anyway. Now that they've got a decent starting wage, it, you know, it's a little better than every other place around here. They got a little more people to pull from.
Yeah, to a point. I have workers that came in that are real hard workers, and they actually probably made more money where they were at. And I would like to be able to move them into 40-hour positions, and if I have to say so, and I can go to my group leader, or not my group leader, but the shift leader. And if there's ever an opening, I would vouch for someone like that.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, because I see good workers and I see bad workers every night. I get people that I can't train on a job that I had to learn in a six-job window. I can't train them on that job in 8 hours.
Right. You can teach them, but you can't make them learn. I've had to train people like that. They just were not going to do the job. That was all there was to it. And back then,
yeah,
you get
frustrated, but, you know, and I'm under – If you were to ask Melissa how I run my team versus how other team leaders are in my area, and I'll badmouth the people I work with when they don't do their job, and I'll say it to their face. You're lazy. You can't even sweep your area.
Nope.
Okay. I tried to lead by example, and I'm the oldest guy on my entire line at 56 years old. The average age is in the lower 30s, if not 22 years old. Okay, so I have to run twice as hard as they do.
But, well, you don't see it in an auto plant because there's so many people in so many departments. But if you work for us, and I've worked for small companies, union companies, and if there's the whole plant is 25 people and one person doesn't pull their weight, everybody else has to do it. And then in those cases, the union reps would be saying, look, man, your brothers and sisters are carrying your weight. You know, you're going to have to pick it up a little bit. It's actually the union that would tell them, hey, you know, you do what's expected, because if not, everybody else is having to do it, and they're getting mad at you. You know, I mean, you can run up to the office and tell on them because they're being mean to you because you're not doing your job? I don't know. I mean, that's a tough situation.
No, I have to cover for them so that they don't get reprimanded. I have to work twice as hard because I'm not going to let anybody get thrown under the bus.
Right.
I might start getting impatient with you and say, either get off your ass and learn this job, or I'll look at the boss in certain nights and go, you know what, I got this. I'll stay on the line all night long. Use them where you need them.
That's
because
right.
I mean,
you don't want nobody going to the office on them, but they, you know,
oh, no,
they're not
no one,
doing
no one
it.
Does. Right. None of my workers will sit there and bitch at the boss about a fellow worker, even though they're suffering
right.
because I can't even give them an emergency bathroom break. You know, they are unified, and like I said, I have a very good team, and most of the people I work around with are like that, and I think most of your people on the line are like that. You still have, how would you say, selfish a-holes that think they're entitled, but
right.
everybody, I mean, I don't think our problem is as much management as, I should say, lower plant management as it is upper plant management in all these facilities. They force lower plant management not to have compassion, and they've taken decisions out of their hands. Well, you can't fire that person. We need them. And once they
right.
get past a certain window, you're screwed with an employee that can't do shit. You know, and then you're stuck with, you know, and unfortunately, out of 300 people we made permanent this last go around, we probably have 100 of them that are dead weight.
Oh. Yeah, it's not.
So
it's tough for the guys that do work, you know, because then they put more on them, the people that do work hard. They got to pick up the weight.
Most of our line group leaders are contract now. Okay, so they don't know how to do a job. They have a degree in human relations, okay, or something. But they can't pick up a nut and put it on another, you know, or help you out if you got to give them an emergency break, where the old school group leaders could jump on and say, okay, I'll cover this job, you know, get back as soon as you can, and they would take responsibility for that job and give somebody a five-minute pee break. Now we got people, oh, I don't know how to do that. I ain't doing that. I might break a nail. Okay, so on the floor we have no assistance from management, but they still want you to run.
Right.
They don't want to do a job, and I don't want them on the line, don't get me wrong. It's not their job to be on the line, but in an emergency situation where you ain't got manpower, you try to make sure someone don't wet themselves.
Who manages?
Yeah.
I know you want the vehicle put together right.
Well, you know what? I had some good group leaders that could actually do almost every job, okay, because they would give you a break if someone needed an emergency break, and they would jump on to help you out. You know, they wouldn't go on a job all night. But if you needed 5 minutes to give someone a break, they would pick a job in your team to get someone off the line. Now you got to work. They're out there. I have one now that's out there fixing and doing repairs, but ain't in my area. So when I need help or I need parts or I need maintenance, I'm like, where's she at?
Who are you covering?
She's out there doing a repair and doing her job.
You got
excuse me. Is a group leader management?
Yes.
Why would they even be on the line?
They would all go on.
That was my question.
If your manpower is so
what the hell?
If your manpower is so short, okay, I've had not only a group leader on the line, I've had a shift leader do a job in my area when we were so short. They will team up because they have the right to go on the line if your manpower is that low. Okay,
Where do you work for management to be working on the line? Where do you work? Do you work at a UAW facility?
I work in Fort Wayne. I've worked at Fairfax.
General Motors.
Corporate policy.
Yes. I have never, ever seen a supervisor jump on the line. Ever.
You know what? I'm telling you, it happens in every GM plant I've ever been at. If you're that short,
it shouldn't be.
Management has the right to go on the line.
Paragraph
15. The union people. They have to pull, they're supposed to pull the committee men or committee people. And all of them, everybody that's even the appointed, they're supposed to go on the line before any management. The only person that does not go on the line is the chairperson.
Work on the line.
Adrian, they want people in the offices to work on the line. When you're short 200 people to run, they pulled engineers out on the floor. They pulled everybody out on the floor. I've had not group leaders, I've had shift leaders come out on the floor because we had to run. And until they could call people in, they were on the line. And they would sweat their asses off.
Ford had language on that. It had something to do with it had to be experimental. There were very specific circumstances. Because if you let them not hire and they're covering with management, then what's their incentive to hire? They know they could just throw a manager on the job.
Oh, they don't do that all the time.
No, this is under
Roger.
It might be under weather circumstances. It might be under accident on the highway where no one can get to the plant because we have fatality out front one day. There's reasons why they'll go up to the office and they'll pull everybody out of the front offices and they'll throw three people on a job if they have to.
Well, I got a question. If they're pulling all management out of the office, who's calling in other people on the overtime list to come in?
They are.
They will.
Because that's the first thing somebody needs to sit down and do if they can't run a line is call for opening up the list of employees who want to come in and work that overtime.
They do. You'll have people trickling in to get people off the line as fast as they can. But when you have people saying, well, I ain't coming in, and you got no one that wants to come in, you know what, you might end up with some people on the line that shouldn't be on the line. But they're not going to shut down the plant and production because people don't want to come to work.
Correct. Paragraph 215 says, management shall not do bargaining unit work. Unless, then there's the tail end of this is a clause, under emergency circumstances, management may man the line. So if Bob's saying they've done it at our plant, it's 100 degrees outside and second shift isn't coming in, or it's been that way for 3 days and first shift's tired of coming into whatever, they don't come in. So what they do is they grab all the team leaders, they go, the foremans go, the general foremans go, they'll keep probably the superintendent. he has to go in the office and start calling people to see who will come in early. And then they go through and they go up front. They get everybody except for safety, because safety needs to stay out where they're at. Benefit stays where they're at. There's one more I'm missing. There's one more that stays. But the rest of the Doc 46 are the appointed people, and the special appointed people, you're on the line. And like Bob says, then they go across the aisle, and they go up the front, the very front office, and they start with the engineers. 2 years ago, we had an assistant plant manager on the line, down on the chassis line, and he couldn't keep up, and everybody razzed him. Hey, you said we could do this. You said we could do this. You said anybody could do this job. We give you the easiest job on chassis one, and you can't keep up with the line. So they got to razz them.
Scotty.
Yeah, they got, yeah.
Look at the chat room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. You're fine.
There's another one, too, that you need to do. Like they would have benefits.
No. Yeah.
They would have benefits where they would sell raffle tickets or whatever for a particular cause locally, whether it be, you know, it could be for autism, whatever. And whoever, you know, bought the winning ticket in the plant and get to choose one of the managers and punish them for the day. And they would have to hold down the job for an entire 8-hour shift. They would relieve them of duty and do that. I don't think they do that anymore, but they used to in the past.
Right. Well, we got about 3 minutes left tonight's show, 5 minutes left tonight's show, something like that. So, but yeah, Carrie, that happens. It happens a lot because it's in our contractual language.
That's crazy.
Well, what's even more crazy is when, I mean, outside of circumstances like an emergency, like a big accident, a trail derailment, or a blizzard, or a tornado, or something like that, there's times people just don't want to come to work because they're tired of chasing a chain that's been sped up 4 times in the last 3 years. And they've cut manpower back, and they've sped the line speed up and increased your footprint for more of you to do. But then nobody seems to even have a problem with that because they keep electing the same people who do the same, and they keep voting for the same bad contracts.
And the other problem is there's so much divisiveness going on that nobody can get along like grown-ass fucking adults.
Right.
I mean, come on now.
That's true.
That is the biggest part of the problem that's going on right now, too, in the plant.
Yeah, nobody's entitled to an opinion of their own.
No one wants accountability, and if you have a problem with somebody, no one wants to be an adult and call that person and say, hey, I'm having a problem with you. Can we have an adult conversation and discuss this? No, you don't do that. You turn around and you message somebody else about it.
Right.
Yeah,
and then that
office.
Person's turning around and messaging you and questioning you when, first of all, the person they went to,
it ain't none of their goddamn business because it doesn't involve them.
Well, why don't they just call their committee person and see if something can't be worked out there? Or one person has to go to another line.
Mrs. Wright, or Michelle's right, or whoever that was.
It was Missy. Well, it can be that way sometimes, depending on the situation. We're talking about life stuff in general. You know, somebody has a problem with somebody else, instead of having your own opinion or agree to disagree. No. I'm going to get butthurt. I'm gonna delete you from my Facebook account, my Twitter account, my X account, my Instagram, my whatever, and then I'm going to block you, and then I'm going to tell other people that I did this, because this is what you said. It's only your side of the story to begin with, but like I said, and people get all crazy about stuff, and it's like, what, because I don't do exactly what you want me to do or say exactly what you want me to say, I can't have my own mind? And if I question you, then I'm a bad person. Well, then I'm a terrible person then.
And not only that, when you've been the biggest advocate for somebody, the biggest advocate for somebody, and defended them tooth and nail for the last 6 years, and you don't even have the common courtesy, the common decency, or the respect enough to call that person and ask him what's going on. You know, for me personally, I've got some pretty shitty health problems going on. Pretty shitty. And it's scaring the death out of me. And it's not over.
Sorry to hear that.
And when I get messages on Facebook, I'm going to say, like some other asshole said to me before, stick a fork in me. I'm done.
Wow.
I don't have time for bullshit, and neither does everybody else. We all need to learn to get along and come together as a whole and learn to work together so we can all better the membership better as a whole. That's the only way we're going to win this. It's the only way.
And people got to understand there's two, you know, somebody else might have a different opinion. I don't mean block them or whatever in the hell they do. I don't even know what they do because I don't go to Facebook because Facebook used to piss me off. So I stopped going. But I didn't block anybody or anything. I've been blocked on Twitter a lot, but that's a different issue. But
seems like what they do now, Don, is just two of them go up and write a statement on somebody, whether it's erroneous or not, and try to get them fired. That's what they've been doing.
Beautiful. Isn't that nice?
They make up stories about their coworkers. They know that if two of us go up there and we write a complaint on party number three, that they'll terminate them. You know, or they'll the next thing you know, they're looking down the nose of management. That's not the way it should be.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
The problem is we need to quit following the devil. But that ain't going to lead us anywhere to the righteous path of making this better.
Right.
That's right.
No matter what the circumstance is, what you do is you both talk. The both of you guys will talk to your committeeman. The committeeman is saying, "I'm not going to get involved. They're not my employees. They're yours." And they're going to point to management and they're going to tell management, "You need to take care of this situation. It's your plant. It's your job. And then if I don't like it, I'll grieve you. I'll write a grievance on you. But it's yours. Don't stick me in the middle of these two people. They're your employees." And I'm just saying that's what will happen 9 out of 10 times.
That
just
your
saying.
Committee people treat you like that? Your
committee
people say, "Hey, management, it's your job to make or break."
Yeah.
to the people I represent.
Yep.
Damn.
All I can say is wow to that.
That's shitty. Yeah.
That's a tough spot to be in.
Our committee people at Ford usually help try to put the fire out between people that's having problems with each other. They don't say that's management's problem because they're UAW members. And you're not trying to get them in a disciplinary action.
Right. You're almost taking them to the management by doing that. That's a tough spot.
Well, matter of fact, it's more work on the committee person with paperwork if those parties are having to go up to labor. Because you still got to represent them. You still got to represent them. So you better represent them out on the floor, try to get an understanding before they hit any labor doors. That only makes
sense. That's right.
Wow.
So if you got committee,
somebody's normally the aggressor, though. If you got two people,
well,
ain't getting along.
Sure, there is.
One of them's normally the aggressor.
Sure, there is. Sure, there is. Usually, there is.
Well,
but
when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Oh,
the good.
Show's over.
Show's been over.
It's been over. Yeah.
Well, we'll
no
be
extension.
Back.
It's good to hear.
That's the Scotty.
I hate when you guys don't have a show. Sucks.
Yeah, I think we're back next week.
Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, out of touch.
Good night, everybody, I guess.
Good night.
Good night.
I might have to call Don on a Saturday whenever he's got his other show going on.
Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, buddy? You
can
speak up.
We can do the show again next week. But
well,
we're taking the 17th up. And don't forget, you got to put your clocks ahead next week.
Oh, is it next week?
Yes, sir. March 10th. Mm. And March 17th will take off at St. Paddy's Day. How's that?
You don't want to speed up that hour. You just don't want it. an hour faster now.
You set your clocks an hour ahead on Saturday night, as I was always told, so that way you are not late to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I don't stay on the drink like I used to, so.
Amen.
Lose hours.
Amen.
Hours sleep.
Amen.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're going to have to send me home. Because I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
That's
my favorite song.
Is that a church hymn?
Yeah, that reminds me of you, Missy.
I love you. That's my favorite song.
There you go. That's right.
Don?
Yes.
Would you tell Joe, thank you, I heard his voice last night, and it put me at ease to be able to take my nap.
Hey, Don.
I'll tell him tonight.
Don, you got access to more music or just a couple songs?
I can play whatever I want to play.
Dude,
you play the First Baptist Bar and Grill.
Hey,
what?
Mama said the way you move.
There you go.
Now I used to make them sweat and make them groove back when I was about 50 years ago. I'm telling you.
You still can do it.
That was a long time ago.
It's there.
This is the original.
Many days in the hole.
Little humble pie, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
I just pictured you wearing, like, a Ron Jeremy shirt with the chest hair sticking out and a bottle full of blue pills.
They didn't have blue pills back then. Now, hold on. They didn't have blue pills back then. So you had to come with what you had. You know what I mean? You had to come
with
what
you had. Now, a blue pill or a yellow pill?
Well, I had the blue veins. That's all.
And I guess if you don't want the blue pill or the yellow pill, I guess just go along with your gummy bears.
Yeah, what is that yellow pill? I seen that on TV, and I said, what the hell is a yellow pill?
Cialis.
Oh, okay. Cialis, okay, gotcha. Wow. Well, I wish that movie.
Crazy train. Going there now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's my time, isn't it? For all you third shifters.
Yeah, you went over. You're going to get in trouble now. You're going to get a spanking from Blog Talk.
No, Blog Talk is screwing me anyway. I'm on my phone instead of what I usually use because it doesn't work.
Really?
And it didn't work last night either with a damn.
Hey, Scott, how is it at your place? How many FMLA call-ins do you have per shift?
It's not that bad. I'm thinking like a 5% maybe across the whole board.
I was gonna say because in our place on any given shift we have over 100 FMLAs a night.
Wow,
that's bad.
That's why when I'm saying that stuff, these people don't realize when you have 300 plus call-ins a day, and you only have 42 temps per shift, you know, it's bad.
As soon as they wiped everybody's attendance records, that was it. People just quit coming to work.
Now,
right,
Scotty,
on critical status almost. Like, they don't have
people.
Back in the day when I was a team leader, and there was a guy that would miss all – he'd come in January is when he would come in to get his – you know, he qualified for his vacation and everything.
Yep.
Well, one time people were working their ass off because people weren't calling, and they were calling in or going on sick leave for no reason at all, and everybody knew it. Well, this guy walked in. He's a pretty big guy, goofy, and he was in the bathroom, and he accidentally fell. About 10 times he fell in the bathroom. So people were pissed off because they were working their ass off covering this dude's job all the time. I mean, all year long, this dude was gone. And he never came back to chassis one, anyway. He never came back.
We call them Christmas miracles. They show up for their Christmas benefits. And you get their time back, and you never see them again for another year.
Yep.
And I don't know how the hell they get away with that crap, but they do. I just don't understand why they do it.
They put that language in, the adverse impact, where it's like for a football game, say Ohio State's playing or the Lions are playing, where the whole plant just doesn't come. They put that language in there. If they have an adverse impact, it don't matter. If you're a good worker, you come to work every day, and you have personal time. Then normally, if you miss the day, they let you use your time to cover it, even retroactive, so you don't get any occurrences. Well, since they put that language in, because the contract ended, they wiped everybody's record, there's so many call-offs that if somebody who's a good worker misses because they're legitimately sick, they can't use their personal time.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, that's the way it's been going.
Wow.
It's getting so
you got 100 call-offs or 70 call-offs in a day, like, you know, Bob's talking about.
That's a hell of a lot.
Somebody misses.
They're calling on FMLA because they've been on the line more than the regular workforce.
And that's what they're doing. They're going to FMLA.
Wow.
You ain't going to cover me. I got personal time. So I'm going to get FMLA, and that's what they're doing.
See, that's trouble for the people that really need that, really need it. It's people that's on it that's screwing everybody else that don't need it. That doctors throw them on there for whatever reason.
Yep.
And they abuse the system, and they just keep abusing it. And pretty soon,
and
one
they
of these
their
days,
policy, everybody
find out, you're going to find out we're not going to have that, and folks are going to be screwed.
That's why
that's how it's been.
Their vacation and their sick time up to 60% of it, because that's the only way of stopping people from abusing it, because they don't want to use all their time up before they can go on FMLA. That way they don't, they don't abuse it. To where it's an everyday policy now where I'm at. And, out of 16 leaders, we only got 2 team leaders there. So the jobs that are open for FMLA, they're putting temps on or team leaders on them line. So they can have a team leader on the, because they don't have a team leader on the whole next line over, they'll put an RO on, as a team leader over there, but they'll have a team leader on the line, which is a violation of the contract, but try and do something
about it. Well, what's management going to do if they got no people,
You can't screw 12 people and do no repairs on a line because people don't want to come to work.
Right.
So
then you got a campaign. You got to pay overtime for them to come in and fix it because it couldn't be done on the line.
Right.
So it's bad all the way around. They put the management in the spot, too. The manager could know that this guy comes to work every day. He does his job, and he's legitimately sick. But because he's got 75 call-offs that weren't legitimate, he can't even cover the guy if he wanted to. They just won't cover anybody.
Right. And do you feel that it's – me personally, I don't feel that it's fair that they sent you over to me, Scott. You're in paint. Okay, you've never had to do a production, paint's different than production, just like body shop.
Definitely different.
I bring you out, say, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this job. Do it. Okay, and
they
give you 20 minutes, if you're lucky, to learn that job. And your regular operator is already struggling, and this is your regular operator can barely get the job done. Now you've got someone that's never done that job. So the team leader's still tied up. Because he's
you're doing
got
half the job, the guy couldn't hold down because they didn't give enough training.
Because why is my line down?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's so screwed up right now, and everybody's so frustrated that you dread going into work every night. I look at Melissa and go, "Well, I wonder what job I'll be on tonight."
I used to refuse the team leader. Trim always needed people in the summer. I refused to go. I said, this is my job. I'm a team leader. I cover these guys right here, and that's my job, period. And I wouldn't go, and they didn't do anything because I knew they couldn't do anything because if they threw me out, that's just another open job they'd have to cover. So they left me alone. Every time they needed people upstairs, they took everybody else. I told them not to go, refused to go. Hell with that.
I got a good group of people. So if I got to move 3 people, say, Don, you're down the line for me and you got no team leader and you got to go really up to the bathroom, and you're going to run up there and take your leak and get back to your job within 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll jockey 3 or 4 people around, or I'll find someone that can do your job out of everybody in my line, even if you're on another line, to get you a break to run up there. But you better not go out and have a cigarette at this point, because my ass is on the line and I can't have one.
Right.
Do what you got to do to get your ass down here. And that's what we do.
That's right.
But this is an everyday thing right now.
Wow.
And they don't want to hire anybody. So now we're starting to hire, how many, I don't know what the story is, I don't know yet, but... Yeah, we're short 300. I think they said 365 call-ins a day.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, wow.
Like a third of a shift.
That's crazy.
And you want to know the worst ones? The ones we just hired.
Really?
Wow.
Not the old-timers. It's the ones that just were made permanent in this last contract. They're already on all their VR time. And they went through, some of them have gone through a week's vacation already.
How do you do that,
man?
How do you get rid of that? You use all your personal time up and your vacation time is gone, too.
Since we're on right now.
When they, last November, they gave them all that time. They said, okay, you got to take this time by the end of the year. So they all got used to calling in when they wanted. So now this year, when they don't feel like coming into work, they called in. Now they're all out of time. Now they're going on Doc 8. Or now they're getting doctor's notes. Or now they're going on sick leave.
Wow.
So now we're twice as short as we were before.
Let me get 907 since we're going to stay on for a little bit. Let me get 907 on. 907, you're
hey,
on.
Hey, Donnie, hey. This is Boyd. How you doing?
Hey, Boyd, how you doing, buddy? From Alaska, everybody.
Oh. Alaska?
Well, you know, I know that where I worked, okay, we used to have an awful lot of blue flu days. You know, we're just hung over. Didn't want to go to work.
That's like
and it got to a point that in one of our that I can't remember how many contracts I'd been in, but they changed that to where we had to work, you know, like a full month, and then we get say like 4.5 hours of sick leave time.
Okay,
that we could use.
Uh-huh.
But it also was to the point where if you called in and you were sick or something, you didn't get paid for the first 3 days, period, that you were out. And,
well, that would stop it, wouldn't it?
it stopped the whole hell of a lot. I mean, the guys who were legitimately sick and were off for, say, like a week or so, legitimately sick, and had doctor's excuses and all of that stuff, they got paid. You know, they weren't penalized.
Good.
But if you weren't gone, or if you weren't gone for 3 days, you just missed a day of pay, even with a doctor's excuse. Because guys would call their doctors and get an excuse, and you know,
they played that game.
But
if somebody's
constantly
playing the system and taking time off just for no reason, they know. You know what I mean?
They know.
It's the same.
They
got to treat the good workers the same way they do everybody else, just because there are people that play the system.
Yeah, well, we had that where I worked, and I worked in communications, and I was a Teamster, believe it or not. But they had to put a stop to it, you know, across the board, from technicians to operators and warehouse and mechanics and all of that stuff, that we're all under the same contract. And that's what they ended up doing, and that stopped a whole hell of a lot of people not showing up for work.
Yeah, that
and
was
then we
know, really good. I know they had to negotiate this, but in places where they have an accrual system where you're not guaranteed or capped on the amount of time you have off, but the number of days that you work or credited hour service on a rolling calendar where you accrue your time off, people come to work so they can earn that next day off. I'm surprised they have never even considered that type of system, because their attendance policy has done nothing but got worse since they changed it.
Yeah,
they got more people off.
Well,
more people on FMLA.
Yeah, like I said on ours, we accrued time for sick leave, but it was on a monthly basis. So if you were off any time, any one day of a certain month, you didn't accrue those hours. Period.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
there was no prorating or anything, and I mean it got down to the point where a lot of times we just had to send guys. Management had to tell guys to go home because they were just too fucking sick, and they were sick enough that we didn't want the rest of the crew to get sick. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and we just. I mean, it got to be hard, and that was one of the ways that it was taken care of, that guys stopped you know, just taking time off.
Right.
You know?
Now, Boyd, what's the temperature in Alaska right now?
I think last time I looked, it was about 12 degrees.
12 above or below?
But it was below zero this morning, last night.
Well, below.
Well, that's why I'm not in Alaska, Boyd.
Bet Alaska's beautiful, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. It's God's country.
You're around Alaska, Anchorage? Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm in Anchorage.
I'd love to visit.
I traveled all over the state being with my job, so I got to see the whole state. And, you know, there's, oh, God, 300 and some odd villages and cities, and if you want to call them cities, in the state. And it's a shorter list for me to tell you where I haven't been than where I have been, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the issues that I heard you guys talking about, supervisors and stuff out there on the line and everything, in the job and in the corporation that I work for, before AT&T took us over, we used to work together, you know, and the crew would put supervisors to work for one of two reasons. Either we really needed the help on the job on a particular thing, or we wanted them to get the fuck out of our way. So we'd put them to work and make them work.
Yeah.
You know, because usually some of them, a lot of them, you know, as soon as you, unless they came up through the ranks, through craft, become supervisors, those people didn't want to be out there. So
no.
You sit back and you tell them, hey, grab that wrench over there and get up on that tower, they're gone. They vacate the area rapidly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let everybody go because I've got to get to pretty quick here to Lori Ann's show. You're going, aren't you, Boyd?
Yeah. Now, I saw a message over in our Facebook message on some of the pages, and Lori Ann, I don't think, is going to do a show tonight.
Oh.
She put out there she was going to cancel the show.
Oh, I hope her mother's all right. But we're still going to go. It's almost – go ahead, Boyd.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, she's been having some issues here last week or so, and with her mom in there, I just imagine she's just not up to doing a show tonight.
Yeah. Well, I can't do a show either now because I did this show. But anyway, we're going to hit the door because it's 9 o'clock almost, and I want to thank everybody for being here. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. I want to thank you and people in the chat room. Thank you, Car City Band. Appreciate
Don,
you being here,
buddy.
And
Don, I want to thank you for everything that you do to keep this show going. And thank you, Scott.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, thank you, Missy.
You're welcome.
It gets hard sometimes, Missy. It gets hard sometimes, but
I agree. I understand totally.
We'll keep going as long as we can. It's been a few years now, so I guess we'll continue for a while. But we are going to take a break sometime.
And I know it is helping some people out there that do need help and guidance.
Well, I tell you what, like Stephanie winning, that really boosts us because, you know, we, of course, support her. And we don't get very many wins. On
nope.
This show, and that was very nice. That was a good one. I hope we helped.
That was a historical win for her.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Don, I think you guys get more wins than you actually know. It's just people don't let you know that they... I said, I think you guys get more wins than you actually know. Because like Melissa said, you guys do help a lot of people and help give them information and guidance. So, and they just don't always let you know that they've that you've done so.
Well, I hope so. It, but when you get one like Stephanie and you back her and she actually beat 100%. One of the good old boys. Whoa, the good old boys, when you beat one of them, that's awesome. And that makes Scotty and I feel 100%.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Can
of course,
I ask
we're not light. Oh, go ahead, Boyd. Go ahead.
Yeah, as a stupid teamster, not out, you know, not part of UAW or anything like that. But let me ask you, is this your show tonight, Donnie, is for everybody that's in UAW across the nation?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I wish we had something like that. Of course, the Teamsters are kind of schizophrenic in who they represent and stuff nowadays.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, they've had lots of other unions call in and talk about their situations, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We usually, we let any union, they got an issue, call in and talk.
Tell us about it. You bet.
Yeah.
You
and
bet.
If we can help them, maybe they can, we can help them. If not, they might be able to help us, you know.
Yeah.
With ideas.
We all need to start helping each other.
That's Chris, Missy. Yeah, everybody should get along, try to get along, and understand there's two parts to every issue. And quit being pissed off at somebody because they don't agree with you. Just let it go.
Well,
I've seen a lot of friends break up over this crap. A lot of friends break up over this, and that's a sad thing.
Yeah, it is. But there needs to be unity amongst the rank and file because there's not going to be change until the rank and file is actually unified. And unfortunately, within the rank and file, there's still a lot of divisiveness. There's still a lot of people that are doing podcasts that are choosing to be divisive instead of unifying. We need to find the common ground and work together and unify to be able to make the change that is necessary.
Well,
amen.
That's a good one, Gina. And there's people that wanna have be this. I want to be this in the union, and there's other people that don't want them in the be president or vice president, whatever the deal is. They get pissed off, and we. You just can't have that shit. You can't have it. And I guess people don't understand that. People voted for a reason. And we got what we got. We got to live with it.
But the two sides should be the rank and file and the companies. The rank and file should be fighting with the company, not with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be.
Actually, ideally, the rank and file in the union and the management of the company should be working together to make sure that the company stays solvent and stays productive and makes money, because if the company goes under, everybody goes.
Well,
unfortunately, the company has the power. The company has the power, though, in the sense. Because even when the company, look at even GM, this last contract, or, Ford or Chrysler or whoever, they held the money. They just don't want to release the money to the workers on a day-to-day basis.
And we know how much they make. And we, We want some of that money, you know. They have people. Well, look, Scotty, how long has it been since we had a raise at that one time?
13,
how many years?
Last time? 13 years. It was 13 years before we had a raise.
See, and they were making money hand over fist, and we gave them concessions to keep them in business. Like you said, keep them in business? Well, we did, and we were promised to get everything back. Well, that never happened.
No. In the meantime,
so they went on strike.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
In the meantime, every employee out there, and I bet if I was to average it out, I bet you I could do that for 10 years average. Every employee generated between $1 million and $1.3 million of net profit for the corporation, for General Motors anyway.
So that's why we're skeptical, and that's when we fight now because of that deal, 13 years without any type of benefit.
Mm-hmm. And actually a $3 an hour pay cut.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, if you look into...
$3 an hour pay cut.
Yeah, if you look into inflation, the whole nine yards, yeah.
We gave up $2.03 or $2.08 a coal and a $1 an hour raise we were supposed to get that year so that they wouldn't pull our retirees' pensions and cancel them out, put them under the federal government, and they would maintain some kind of health care. That was what the rank and file did to take care of our legacy, and
right.
The corporation was supposed to revert to that once they became solvent again, and they turned around and thumbed their nose up at us.
Now, that's
yeah.
true. And our union didn't help either. I'm not going to blame management for everything.
No.
But our union didn't fight for us at all.
No, they did not.
Yeah, been there in that situation myself.
Yep.
But,
that's how it goes. You got to fight for what you got, you know, your rights, and that's what we're starting to do. But we got to fight together. And we gotta bring everybody together, and not split them apart. But that's harder said than done. I can tell you that because I tried with there was a splinter group of UAW workers. And some of my, I call friends, I don't know if they are, but I call them friends, that wouldn't come together, both sides wouldn't come together. And so you got a splintered group, and with a lot of people that listen to them, but they wouldn't come together. And
that hurts us. I understand that. We had the same situation in my shop for many, many, many years. We had the telephone operators, and then we had the technicians. And the telephone operators outnumbered us. They outnumbered the technicians and stuff. And so if they got when they got what they wanted in the contract for the operators, it passed, whether or not we enjoy, you know, like what we were getting or not. And so, you know, that was, and little did the operators know that if we weren't working, they weren't working either because all the equipment would go down and nobody would be making phone calls.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what the UAW stands for. You ain't working.
Yeah.
I missed it. That was good. Lord. Well, anyway, guys, we got to go. It's after 9 o'clock. We will be back next Sunday night. I want to again congratulate Stephanie, Miss President, Madam President. And I want to everybody that ran, I want to thank you for running because that does make a difference. It really does. And Miss Sharon, I voted for you. And I'm sorry you didn't make it. But I appreciate you running and getting the word out. So everybody have a great night, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night, hopefully. Join us on Saturday night if you like political shows. We'll be here at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And you can join Miss Adrian and fall asleep because that's what we're good for instead of taking a sleeping pill.
Unless it's really heated. We get really heated.
Good night, everybody.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OATNUT for Spanish Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by.
If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, and forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like healthcare, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Said, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
This has been a public service message sponsored by OATNUT, dedicated to the collapse of the American way of life.
It's gonna be a big heartbreaker. Grandma needs a new pacemaker. And the doctor says, I realize she's ill. But there's talk of legislation on all our medication. And maybe all we can do is put her on a pain pill. Oh, me. Hey, Congress, you vote Obamacare. We'll vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass. You'd be out on your... Cause we the people have awakened. And to put it in words you might understand, if you had the common sense that God gave a billy goat, you'd no doubt notice that your constituents, the electorate, that's us voters, are on to your pork barrel special interest tax and spend scam. Or to put it more succinctly, Benedict, Beck, and Limbaugh. What you got in mind for Grandma? And we found this O'Reilly fella on Fox. We're kinda like Joe the plumber, and when we crunch the numbers, it all adds up to voting you out at the ballot box. You vote Obamacare, we're gonna vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks.
Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side, Joe, in Boca Raton. Welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. We have to have open...
Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
you're
to have...
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has... borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow, and now
well, apparently they pulled from the lowest level of the gene pool from where you came from, that you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit, an upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's capitalism.
I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number. Okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money, and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
it
out.
I see. How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check.
What do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe.